Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson, and together we are P4P Real Talk. Happy Thursday, everyone. We're so glad that you could join us. Mr. Kalen, what's going on with you tonight?
Not much. It's good. Just feeling good for doing yesterday's show. You know, we're not having those issues we had the day before. I'm sorry. And I'm just happy for that.
That is true. It was great having Vicki McCann on last night with the DFAC. She stayed up late for us, calling all the way in from Scotland, and just a ball of energy, you know, so much experience, what she's done in the industry and what she's looking to do through DFAC. So very exciting, and, you know, athletes over profits. If you guys didn't get a chance to listen to us last night, do check out our archives at blogtalkradio.com. Look for P4P Muscle, and you'll be able to hear everything that Vicki had to share. And you won't want to miss it because it's another great federation, another great opportunity for natural athletes out there, and they're really looking to raise the bar and at the competitive level and really give athletes a good experience. So you should check them out. And with that being said, go ahead.
I said don't forget about our challenge
Yes, she did have a challenge, and actually Kalen and his group is taking that challenge to heart tonight, and they are holding what Vicki called it. Did she call it a bodybuilding club? I think that's what she was calling it.
Yes, she
and
did.
So basically what it is once a month or on a pretty regular basis, they pull together the pro athletes in their communities, and they hold a free day-long workshop for the youth in that community to introduce them to bodybuilding or educate them more about their opportunities, talk to them about nutrition, talk to them about their strength training, and just try to give them a leg up and encourage them to take part in the sport. And basically, the only thing it costs participants is what it costs to get a day pass to the gym that they're holding the workshop at. And Kalen is doing that tonight. So following our podcast, go ahead.
To wish as well.
Yep, so we're going to wish them well, but he and a couple of our local pros are going to be talking with the youth and getting them excited about natural bodybuilding. So we will wish you well, and we'll be looking to hear all about that and see pictures on Midwest Muscle on Facebook.
And some interviews.
But before we can get to that, we've got to get to our interview that we have tonight. And tonight we have on our show the lovely Jess Moore, a.k.a. Jessica Lynn, phenomenal athlete. If you haven't heard about her yet, you're going to want to tune in tonight and get the 411. She started out competing – well, I shouldn't say started out. She's competed in both the NAMBF, and she received her pro card and is an IFPA pro, but then she's also been making great strides in the NPC and is an IFBB pro as well. Jessica, Jess, welcome to our show tonight.
Thank you very much.
So, I mean, I kind of gave a 5,000 foot view of who you are and what you've been doing, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, so, kind of like you said, I started out kind of dabbling in all areas of bodybuilding, not just one federation, and then after competing at three different types of shows, I just decided to continue with the NPC and then eventually go on to IFBB.
Awesome. So what made you decide to get started in bodybuilding?
Honestly, like I did dance and like competitive dance growing up. So the competitive part came from that. And then from there, I got involved in CrossFit. I did that for about 4 years, and I just loved it. I loved lifting. I loved watching my body change. And then I was introduced to some people or knew some people that were talking about bodybuilding. I'm like, what, you know, what is this? Because when you think of bodybuilding, you don't think of, you know, slightly muscular women. You think of, you know, big, you know, super huge muscular guys. So I did more research, and I was like, hey, I kind of want to do that. So, yeah.
Awesome. So over the past couple years, well, what's it been now, 2 or 3 years, at least 3, I think, you have mm-hmm. been on the competitive scene pretty regularly. I mean, and you've just been moving through the NPC, it seems like, by leaps and bounds. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that journey? Because I know that, there was like, you went, like, placing at show after show after show, and then all of a sudden you hit a blip where you didn't place, which was like, we're like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, what happened? But then after that,
yep.
you took off again. I mean, kind of talk to us a little bit about that and the emotions of, you know, going through all those things and kind of having what seemed to be a setback, but then, you know, what happened?
Yeah, so when I first started my first show, I did both open and novice. And I went into that show obviously expecting nothing. I had no idea, you know, what I was going to do. I had only watched one show before that. So I went into that show. I ended up placing first in novice and second in open, and I was just kind of blown away, like, wow, that was pretty awesome. And then from there, I, you know, did MTC, placed in, I think, let's see, 2 or 3 NPC shows. I got first in my class, and then I went on to win an overall in NPC. And then starting out the following year, I competed. That was the first time I competed far away from home. So that show was in Pittsburgh, and mm-hmm. I didn't place. And so I'm like, what did I do wrong? Because I've only been making improvements on this off season. So I was definitely down, to say the least, but after that show, you know, I was devastated, but I was like, you know, I can't give up, I gotta keep on it. So I, that day, signed up to do another show the following weekend in Texas.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy, like, I was literally booking flights and figuring out the show as I was headed home from Pittsburgh. So
did you do that as a way just to keep yourself motivated, or, I mean,
I honestly don't remember what I felt about it. I was just so down, and I was like, you know, I can't give up. I have to do this. Like, I want to reprove myself, you know, and see if other judges in a different part of the country have a different opinion. And so I ended up doing that show, the Dallas Europa. And I ended up winning the overall. And, like, the Dallas Europa, to put into a scheme of things, is, like, very similar to, like, a mini Arnold. So it's, like, an entire convention. It's not just a bodybuilding show. You know, like, it was a professional show, a massive expo. So to win the overall there was pretty crazy. Like, I went in and had no expectations whatsoever, obviously coming from a no placing. And then going to that mm-hmm. was just, like, whoa, what happened? But boosted me up a little bit again. So, yeah.
All right, very cool.
Hey. Can I ask something?
Yeah, go ahead, of course.
Oh, now, bikini is how do you say it? There's a lot of stigma that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, You've got your family. How did you convince them that what you're doing isn't what they think you're doing?
It took a little time, honestly. And even, so like, even with my career, so I do hair, and, you know, it's my everyday job. Even with that, you know, some family members were like, that's kind of just a hobby. It's not really a job. And then I ended up, you know, I competed in a hair show, and I won the hair show. And I got to go to New York for that. But anyways, that's besides the point.
Wow.
But, so I kind of put some faith into them in that aspect, so they kind of respected me a little bit more, and that's what I truly wanted to do and what I was good at. So it's, like, really the same thing with my bodybuilding career. I started and I had pretty much instant success in a way. You know, the first show and the first pictures, they're like, I don't know about wearing a swimsuit on a stage. But the more I competed and the more they watched me and followed me and just saw how involved and how in love with the sport I was, then they just, their support started to grow. And now, I mean, they're extremely supportive of every show I enter, and they go to shows and everything. So it just took time and a little convincing.
Oh, nice. Now, yeah. As you've been going along and doing the competitions, I'm sure as you've been doing the competitions, I'm sure there's been people who really didn't understand the competitive side in the gym. Because I noticed, on social media, it took some time for the actual bodybuilding community to latch on to bikini and men's physique. Now, what were some of the roadblocks that weren't really roadblocks, more like speed bumps for you to get past that? Because, you know, everybody thinks it's just a straight run and you go step on stage and you win. There's a lot of trials and tribulations getting to that point. Could you elaborate on
Well, for me, when I started, that was the time that bikini and physique had kind of started to blow up. So, I started right before it really got big. So I felt like I was kind of maybe ahead of the community on that part. So I didn't really have many roadblocks as far as people not understanding why I wanted to do it or, you know, what I was doing. Some of my friends still are kind of, you know, they were kind of weary, like, well, you're going to get too big or, you know, you're going to look weird or whatever. But, you know, they see now that that's not the case. And unless I'm, you know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before a show, most people can't even really tell that I am technically a professional bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. And you say that because of your size, because you've leaned down so much that you don't really have as much size or...
When I diet, your skin, you know, gets a little less fatty and you look skinny, but you're not skinny because there's muscle under there. So when you're dieting, you just look more muscular, which doesn't really make sense. But so when I'm in the off season, it kind of just fills out and I look kind of like what people say is normal these days. So I don't really have to deal with the stereotypes. Not that much, really.
Well, that's good. I mean, in some athletes, that's not the case for them. But, I mean, it's always good when you hear athletes that aren't having to battle that because, that just means that the stigma is not quite everywhere. It's not quite as heavy in some places as it might be in others. So, I want to jump back to something you said just a little bit ago, and I actually liked it. You were talking about getting into bodybuilding, and you positioned it as your bodybuilding career. And I just want to bring that up because for a lot of people, it's not just a hobby. Some competitors, it is a hobby, but for a lot of them, it's not. It's a very serious component of their lives. And I think you take a very disciplined approach to how it is that you are progressing in the sport. I mean, you have specific goals and, you know, each year those goals change or as you meet one goal, you develop new ones. And for, you know, people just getting into the sport or maybe those that have been in a while but haven't really approached it from that aspect, talk to us a little bit about how you put together your plan for what you want to accomplish, when you want to accomplish it, and, you know, the steps, identifying the steps you need to take in order to get where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, for me, when I first started, I had no real goals. I just wanted to compete, and I feel like that's very common among new athletes. But then once I started to compete and started to have some success and some failures, then I just started to set what seemed like kind of unrealistic goals at the time. So when I was getting ready to do my first national show, I was like, you know, I want to turn pro this year. I want to turn pro at this show, blah, blah, blah. So I had to do 3 national shows to turn pro. But it was kind of the same thing like with Pittsburgh and Dallas. So my first national show was in Chicago, and I placed 5th, and I cried because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't achieve my goal. I'm not a professional. You know, I was like, I was really devastated. And, I was kind of a negative attitude to have towards it, but I just had that goal set, and I more than anything wanted to reach that. And so when I didn't, I, like, instantly talked to my coach, and I was like, what's the next show? Like, what are we going to do? When can I get on stage again? Like, I was like, you know, I got to get on this. I want to do it. I turned the sadness into motivation. So I ended up competing, let's see, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks later in New Jersey. And again, I didn't turn pro. I got 4th. So I was, crying again. I'm like, oh, what do I do now? And by that time, my body was just exhausted, and I was like, I don't know if I can do another one, but I had to. So I got ready. I think that was another 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks later, I competed in Las Vegas, so all over the country, trying to chasing the pro card. So I ended up competing in Vegas and finally got the pro card. So there was definitely a sense of relief, but also a sense of, okay, now I want to get in the pros, I want to get in strong there. But by that time, I had done 5 shows in 12 weeks, which was outrageous and super hard on my body. And as much as I wanted to do a pro show, and within the first month of turning pro, my body just wasn't having it. So took a little break. That whole year, just trying to turn pro, I knew how important it was to keep my face fresh with the judges. Because once, if they know you, then they're going to look at you a little heavier, per se, because they're more familiar with you. So I really pushed myself to the limit. Like, I definitely dedicated, it's crazy, I dedicated more time to this than I did to my actual full-time job. But that's what the sport is. I mean, you can make it that, more than a full-time job, or you can make it a hobby and just, dabble in shows here and there. There aren't really any rules. It's just, what you set for yourself. So,
And what each individual is looking for. And, I do like the point that you bring up, that the more often, although I'm not advocating competing, multiple times in a year, although people have done it successfully. I did it once, and it was crazy. It was crazy, and I have never done it again since because my body wasn't having it, and I wasn't able. I mean, even though you turned pro, I needed to take time off in order to make the gains that I needed to in order to up my game. So for you, it turns out well. It doesn't always work that way, but you are correct in the fact that the more you do compete, though, and the judges become familiar with you, they do take a harder look at you. Well, I can't say a harder look, but they do make note of your improvements. And I've had, judges say that to me, and I've had them heard them say that to other contestants. I remember you from last year, and you've definitely made improvements in this and that. And then, so as they're able to watch you grow, watch athletes grow, they're also able to give you more, I think, beneficial feedback.
Yeah,
as to,
I definitely agree.
Ways that you continue to grow. And Kaylin, I heard you laughing at me in the background. I don't know what all that was about, but we're going to get you later. So all of that you went through, and it is definitely continuing to pay off for you, because one of your goals for this year, I know that you've shared, is that you wanted to compete internationally. And with that being said, you had some major news that just came down for you, like a week ago, a couple weeks ago, maybe it was just this week. I'm not sure when, but what's coming up next?
So, yes, I, just like always, set what I thought to be kind of an outrageous, crazy goal that I, wanted to compete overseas, which, is doable, but it takes some more financial time to do that. But I just on a whim applied to, I don't know if it was really an application. I pleaded my case with the committee for the Arnold Australia, and they accepted me to compete in the show. So I'm going to Australia in about 9 weeks to see what I can do
Yay!
There.
Yay!
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. So,
crazy.
Tell us, I mean that's a pretty big deal. I mean, the Arnold in and of itself is a big deal. It's a machine, but to get invited to compete internationally, I mean, what are you expecting or what is the expectation? I mean, how many athletes even go to these shows or make it on the stage at these shows?
So I know for sure there are at least 26 bikini pros competing, and most of them, maybe not most of them, a large handful of them have competed in Olympia and also placed. So it's definitely a higher rating of athlete, I guess you could say. I've competed, I think, the Iowa Pro I did last year. I think there were maybe 24, 25, 26 athletes. So I'm used to being on stage with a lot of other girls, but not this caliber of athlete. So it'll be interesting to see where I stack up. So I have really no expectations for the show. You know, I would love to place top 5 or top 10, but I'm just going in and knowing that I'm going to be compared to some of the best in the world.
I mean, and that's a great opportunity.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, it is great as it sounds that you have the opportunity to go. The fact that you're actually prepared to do it is what makes it special, because I think that's the thing people forget when you talk about our ability, it's because you're prepared to do it. So could you speak about how you are doing the year-round look as far as fitness itself?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of told myself going into this year, I only competed 3 times last year, and that was good, but I wanted to do more, but I'm also kind of just seeing where I stack up with the rest of the pros. So I kind of just set, you know, this goal for myself. If I wasn't accepted to that show, I'd probably take it, you know, easier on this year. But getting that acceptance just, like, lit a fire under me, and I'm definitely going to go as hard as I can this year and try to use my Olympia point qualification and hopefully get to the Olympia stage this year.
Oh, wow.
So,
So when you are in prep mode, what does that look like as far as your training? Just a general overview.
Yeah, so I flip-flopped between a few different coaches over the last few years. I recently just switched to a new one, and this is actually, it's totally different. I mean, every prep has its differences. They might not be big, but definitely every prep is different. And this one is a little bit more different. I normally don't prep more than 4 to 6 weeks, and I started around 10 weeks this time, so I'm really just trying to do it right, maybe. I mean, there's no right or wrong to prep. Everyone's body is different. But for me, I just want to be more comfortable with, you know, my meal plan and not feel like I'm tied down to specific things. And as far as my training, you know, I want to be able to maintain my strength and my muscle and not diet everything away. So I feel like taking more time this time will benefit me when I get on that stage.
All right, very exciting. So, and I think part of what Taylan was getting to is, so, and I know we hear people say, I hate when people, you know, call it an off season, because there really is no such thing as an off season.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of conversation, in your off season, what does your regimen look like?
Well, I like to refer to it as improvement season and not off season, because you can never be off in the sport. I mean, I just I go back to what the judges give me for feedback, you know, if I need to improve on this area, make this tighter, make this bigger, you know, whatever they advise me to do, I take to heart. So I just focus on kind of my problem areas, but I still don't, you know, let anything else go unnoticed. So, yeah, I just kind of step up my training a little bit, you know, get in there and focus on what I need to focus on primarily. As far as my diet in the improvement season, it's really, I mean, I don't limit myself too much because I want to almost be sick of the cheat meals and things by the time I start dieting again so that I'm really ready and really committed. Because I've gone into some preps and not been ready, and I just wasn't about the diet, wasn't about the training, wasn't about the cardio. Like, I just was not feeling it. And that it really took a toll on me. I mean, you know, I told myself there were a couple shows last year that I wanted to do, and I didn't end up doing them because I wasn't mentally in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, there is something that I'd like to speak on, because I think a lot of people miss this when competing. They get so caught up in the gym, they forget mm-hmm. about the posing, stage presence, and owning the stage in general. Could you speak mm-hmm. on that?
Yeah, and you
have a phenomenal stage presence.
I feel like that comes from dance. It's just, it's not that I don't know. Like, I definitely consider myself to be more of a shy person. I really don't know where that comes from other than my dance past. But, it's, everybody's like, oh, how do you work out that often? How do you go that much? Whatever. And I'm like, you know, it's really not all about the gym. It's like 30% your workouts and the rest of it's your diet. I mean, imposing on top of that, that is constantly changing too. You know, if I do, even if you practice something a couple times a week, come stage time, you may not do what exactly you've been practicing if you're not doing that every day and you get really familiar with what you're doing. So that's something I try to share with people who are going to compete is, okay, let's get your routine down, and you need to practice this every single day after you work out, or sometime in your workout, you need to practice your routine. Because essentially, like, you can come in with a perfect package, like you followed your diet to a T, you know, you did everything you need to do in the gym, but if you don't practice your routine, then you're not going to be able to showcase what you have.
And if you don't practice enough, you don't have the stage presence necessary for
exactly.
it to be.
And I learned that one the hard way. I've had some early T-walks that were disastrous. Well, they weren't really disastrous, but I whipped through them so fast that people were like, where did you go?
Yep.
What did you
yep.
do on stage? And that's just
yep,
because
you
when you get out
experience.
There, when I get out there, yep, the mind went blank. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, what am I doing now? And so that posing is always so very important. So,
well,
and I do know, oh, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, I've seen first place top-notch physiques that didn't transition on stage, and they didn't get it. And it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, even the competitors know a first place physique when they see it, but if the judges can't see it, it really doesn't matter. And, you know, we're getting such a diverse group of listeners on P4P Real Talk. I want everyone to please understand that blaming the judges doesn't save that time you should have spent practicing posing and getting a stage presence, because it shouldn't be an act on stage. It should be basically who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, and that's another great point, not to make your turn. Well, the turns are what they are. They're mandatory. So, but you can still have, at least in bikini, you can still have your flair on the turns. But when it comes to, like, T-walk, don't try to make it so, I guess, quote-unquote, flashy, or, you know, if it's not your personality to be flashy, you don't have to be flashy. You just have to be solid and do what's beautiful for your body. Someone else who has mm-hmm. that personality to be flashy, they can pull it off. But if that's not you, you know, the judges are going to see it. You'd be much better served to be comfortable in what you're doing, and that fits you and who you are, than to try to be someone else. Because, you know, we see other people and we see their TWOCs and we're like, wow, I'm going to do what she does, but what she does doesn't necessarily fit what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a good point, to stay true to yourself in doing all of this.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to have staff on stage, and I'm like, okay, let's focus on your flow first. So you need to be very fluid, and then you can add a little bit of staff in.
Yeah. That is good. Be on point and then sass later. I like it.
Exactly.
I like it. Well, I know that we have a short time with you this evening, and I know that we're getting to that point where we are we're running out of time. But before we go, I just wanted to have you share a couple of words, because I know that you get a lot of feedback from individuals that are motivated by what you do, or you know, just seeing your progress. And, you know, what advice or what tips would you have to say to someone who's listening and are either just getting into the sport, or maybe they're at a standstill with the sport, or, you know, we can all just use a little pep in everything that we're doing. What advice or tips would you have to share with our listeners?
My biggest piece of advice is, do not listen to anything that anyone says about you or what you're doing. So, I mean, like you were talking about earlier, you know, sometimes, especially bikini competitors, get a bad rap, you know, be it what we're wearing or what we want to do. But I think for me, the reason I don't really have that is because I don't pay attention to it. I don't make time for that. You know, I just focus on me and I do what makes me happy. And I focus on the people in my life that are positively influencing me versus trying to cut me down. So that would be my main piece of advice, is stay true to yourself and listen to yourself and your body and do what makes you happy.
And there you go. That's solid. So on behalf of myself and Kaylin and P4P, we just want to thank you for being on the show with us tonight. And keep us posted. Let us know how things go in Australia. And we'll definitely
Absolutely.
Be keeping an eye out for you in the future. So
have
a great night tonight. Yep. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds good.
All righty. Bye, Jess.
See ya.
Bye, Jess.
Bye.
Okay. I for me, it's a joy to watch her continue to grow and just go places that, you know, even I hadn't even thought about. I'm just very excited for her that she's going to be headed overseas and going to the Arnold. So definitely going to keep my eye on her and what she's got going on.
We still got that trip to England.
Yes, we do. To Scotland.
Exactly.
We're going to have to start taking our show on the road and become the international P4P Real Talk podcast.
There you go.
So we've got coming up next week, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your guest that's coming up on Tuesday?
Well, actually, I have two that are going to be doing, so I have an early show with Anthony Minetti. Anybody can forget this guy that is about him. He's from the MTV the Big Body episode of Real Documentary. And I want to talk to him because he's done far more than just being an MTV person. He's transformed much more than that. And he and his wife, Karen, have done some amazing things on the internet and through basically webinars and stuff like that. Basically not hitting the mainstream televisions, but still being a dominant force as far as how he's showing what that natural body can look like. And but he's also a coach and a trainer, so he's basically paying it forward times 10. And then later that night, I have Serena. And she's one of the first people I saw that did a routine as a pro on stage that was akin to what kids were doing. that was just amazing, where it just left that thought in your mind that, wow, that's just something to see. So I'll get to catch up with her, and then you can actually piggyback that because she's going to be helping out again later that week.
The following week.
Yes.
Yep, later the following week, and we're going to be talking about food, people, and how to spice things up in the kitchen. So you're going to want to join us then as well. So not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday after that, and we'll have more information that's coming out. What time are your two segments next Tuesday?
Well, the first episode is going to be an earlier one because he's on the coast, so we had to basically work around his schedule. So it's going to be at 11 o'clock Central. The ninth is going to be.
Oh, and you know what? It sounds like we have lost Kaylin for the moment.
I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there. We did lose you for the audio for a second. We didn't hear the end of it. But so 11 o'clock Central for your first segment, and then what time was the second one?
7 o'clock Central.
Okay, 7 o'clock. So next Tuesday, you've got two opportunities, 11 a.m. Central and 7 p.m. Central for some great shows. And On Thursday, we are going to be we're going to have a couple of great gals coming up, and we're going to talk more about the ins and outs of posing, which Jess talked so much about tonight, and it's important. So we've got a lot of different topics and great things going on next week.
Yes, very important. Yep. Please stress, because I'm sick of seeing people do all that hard work in the gym and get the makeup artist and get the hair and get the bling and get everything, and then have it all go to waste because of posing and routines. It hurts. It really hurts.
It does. And I know we've said it before, but we're going to spend even more time talking about it because we really want to drive that point home and make sure that our athletes are dedicating the time to that area of their prep that they should be. So next week, carve out the times, be there. It's going to be good stuff. And then later this evening, again, we talked about it earlier in the show, but if you tuned in a little bit later tonight, Kaylin and some of our local pros are going to be holding a bodybuilding club of sorts for the youth in the community to educate them more about the sport and being natural athletes. So we're excited about that going on, and definitely going to be looking to hear more about that as well. So be sure you tune in to Midwest Muscle on Facebook, and there'll be some pictures and some interviews and a recap and just lots of good stuff going on.
Yes.
So before we head out, Kaylin, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I just want to thank everyone this year for the growth of P4P Real Talk. Without the listeners, we really don't have a show, and I thank everybody that tunes in live. And I also want to thank the people that go to the archives, especially the ones that have been going back even a year and updating themselves with the natural community, because we do have to come together. It takes all of us working together to make that happen. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank everybody that's just really enthused and excited about being a natural competitor.
Amen to that. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and P4P Muscle, if your body is a temple, let's build it.